Friends in Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. I would like to share again with you words from the Old Testament reading and consider these words with you. Isaiah chapter 61, the 10th verse. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. This is God's word. Please be seated. To you who are poor in spirit and brokenhearted and captive to sin and bound by death, and grieving and mourning. To you, God's bringer of good news brings the garment of praise and puts it upon you this day. And there is a great mystery here, which really you cannot see in your English Bible, but is revealed to us in the original Hebrew when we consider this 10th verse, that phrase, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Garments of salvation in the Hebrew is beged yeshah. And Yesha in Hebrew is the basis for the name of Yeshua or Jesus. And so in light of this, of the New Testament, we could paraphrase this verse to read that God has clothed me with beged Yesha, with Jesus robes. And I don't mean robes that merely belong to Jesus, Jesus apostrophe, but robes that are Jesus. Jesus' robes, the vestments of salvation. Scripture says, for as many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He clothes you in himself. That is Christianity. That is our faith. Receiving righteousness and salvation from the hand of God is never like payday, although a lot of people would like to think so. They want to receive salvation like they do a paycheck. What an accomplishment I have done here. What have I earned? Look at how hard I have worked for this. But no, receiving salvation does not look like payday. It looks more like a wedding, according to this text. He has covered me with beged yesha. He has covered me with Jesus' robes. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. How else, after all, how else could we ever attend the marriage feast of Jesus Christ in his kingdom? I think of the man in the parable a few weeks ago in the wedding banquet hall. He was asked, how did you get in here without the wedding garment? And he was speechless. And we are speechless before God as well. The garments of our own making, of our own righteousness, are filthy rags, Isaiah says. They don't count for anything. That's why Paul said to the Romans, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So here is another mystery. Why are we not joyfully rejoicing in the Lord more than we do, as this text says? Why don't we exult in our God more, who vests us in the righteousness of his own Son? I think the reason is that we're a little hesitant about letting our joy go, is that we put on Jesus Christ, we put on this righteousness by faith. And that is not very appealing to the flesh or to our pride. We are called to rejoice in a garment of salvation that we cannot earn, cannot feel, cannot see. And that is not good enough for our fallen nature. We want to play some visible role in this thing. We want to make our contribution so that we can get some of the recognition. We're like the little boy whose baseball team just won the championship tournament. He and the whole team are vested in the t-shirts of the champs and in the little baseball caps. And this little boy is smiling for the cameras and for the pictures and so, but he cannot rejoice joyfully because he personally had a bad game. He didn't get any hits. He had no RBIs. He scored no runs. He even made a few mistakes defensively that his teammates had to cover up for. And somehow being vested in the winner's apparel isn't reason enough to rejoice joyfully if you haven't made a personal contribution to the effort. And so too in the Spirit, in our salvation. God vests us in Jesus' robes, our salvation. But we're not nearly as happy, it seems, as we should be about it. We rejoice, but not joyfully. We exult in God, sort of, but not with all of the resolve of spirit, body, soul, strength, mind, and heart that we can muster. It's a pride thing for us. We want to have our part in it. We are somewhat hurt to think that we get our share of the victory, even though we had no personal contribution to it, but that it is ours simply by faith. Well, let's see if we can't find a little more reason to rejoice joyfully and to exalt in our God completely this day. Let's take a moment to consider the wonder of how the righteousness of the one man, Jesus Christ, gets to me and to you. How does unrighteous me end up wearing a garment of righteousness? How do I, so full of blame, end up blameless? Listen again to Paul from 1 Thessalonians. He says, "The God of peace himself will sanctify you completely." Sanctify means to make you holy. He will sanctify you, that your whole spirit and soul and body will be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He will sanctify you, not you. He will do it. He will make you holy. And how will he do this? Well, here it comes. Now listen to this and chew on it for a little bit. He will clothe you in himself by first of all clothing himself in you. Now think about that. He will clothe you in himself by first of all clothing himself in you. That is the incarnation. Before he ever clothed you in himself, he first of all clothed himself in you, in your flesh. Christmas is not the story of God possessing some child born in Bethlehem that was going to be born anyway, although there are some churches who teach this, that God came into the body of that little boy in Bethlehem, and then he left that body again when God abandoned him on the cross. That is a damnable teaching. That God never really became one of us, but that he merely possessed one of us for a while. But the scriptures are clear. The incarnation did not happen at Bethlehem. That is the nativity. That's the birth of the Savior. The incarnation happened 9 months earlier at the conception of Christ in the womb of Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, we say in the Creed. So that Paul can say to the Colossians, "In Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form." God clothed himself in you, in your flesh. The Word became flesh, John says, and he lived among us. He vested himself in our humanity, and he took our humanity into himself. But we're not quite at the point yet of rejoicing joyfully, because anyone who has ever felt the hammer blows of God's law realizes their sinfulness is waiting for the other shoe to drop about now. You may say, God takes humanity into himself, but wait a minute, there is more to me than just my humanity. My humanity comes with a lot of baggage. I have sins. I have guilt. Don't tell me that he's also wrapped himself in my sins. Beloved, he has wrapped himself in your sins. We call it his humiliation, his humbling, though he was God, yet he did not consider equality with God as something to be held on to. But he emptied himself, and he took on the form of a servant, and he became obedient unto death on the cross. One of the reasons that God took our humanity into himself was to make himself killable, so that he could be our substitute and our sacrifice. And there at the cross, Jesus, all wrapped up in our humanity, also wrapped himself up in our sins, and he paid the price. To heal our brokenhearted humanity, to liberate our captive humanity, to release our humanity that has been imprisoned in darkness, to gladden our grieving and mourning humanity, he became fully human and then gave himself for our forgiveness. He came wrapped in swaddling clothes, but he died wrapped up in my shame and in your shame. He wore the priestly headdress of thorns and was bound in the grave by your grave clothes. But those grave clothes could not hold him. He arose from the dead. And now he has adorned his bride, the church, with the jewels of righteousness and of salvation. And he exults in that. The one who has clothed himself in us has now clothed us in himself. And he rejoices with loud singing at this. It is the mystery and the joy of the incarnation. Let us also rejoice joyfully. Hear it again. The one who clothed himself in us has now clothed us in himself. Rejoice, O people of God. What did we just sing in that hymn? Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. May that joy of the Advent season be yours always. Not just when we light the joy candle, but always yours in Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.